Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll...
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our broadcast today. This is Susan Puzio, and this is the Prophetic News Radio broadcast coming to you live today on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a great program for you today. We have Brenda Johnson of As the Day Approaches and Phil Armstrong of the Prophecy Zone, and they can both be heard every week on the Prophecy Zone radio network on Blog Talk Radio. So please check out their programs. You'll enjoy them. And we are here every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a one-hour program. Also, we are on Mondays on the Prophecy Zone radio network at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we also have a YouTube channel, and our YouTube channel is Jonah T for Tom 48. And I'm also starting a new YouTube channel that will be Prophetic News TV. So I want you to check those out. We had some excitement at the YouTube channel this week when Mike Murdoch complained to YouTube, and he had them remove one of my videos, which was a video entitled Mike Murdoch Scam Pimps in the Pulpit. So obviously we did get Mike's attention, which I'm very happy for, because I want him to hear what I have to say and hopefully be convicted of his heretical teachings on giving. And I have a response that I have posted up on my Blog Talk Radio channel, and I will also be posting it on YouTube. So maybe we will be hearing from Mike again. We'll be praying for him, and hope that he gets saved and quit fleecing the church. It would be nice. But you never know who's listening to you, so never take it for granted when you're doing a program and it has the capability of reaching the world. Anyone that has a computer can log into our radio broadcasts and our YouTube channels, which I view YouTube as a TV ministry. So we want to thank God for that. And really, the reason why we do these programs, and it is very important, is because we want people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our main goal when we do a broadcast, and I do not want to take it lightly. I want to let people know the good news of the gospel, that Jesus Christ is a saving master, a redeemer, and he can redeem you today from any pit that you're in, any drug addiction, any suicidal spirit. He can deliver you from any sin and give you a brand new life. And so I want to let all our listeners know today that the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. You must receive Jesus Christ. It is a free gift that is being offered to you, but you must receive the gift just as you would receive any gift that someone was trying to give you. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we want you to know that you can call upon the name of Jesus today. We are going to be talking about the end times and all the turmoil that we see in the world. And you don't have to be afraid. Fear is not from God. And if you understand the Bible and understand the end times, especially the book of Revelation, you won't have to live in terror about the things that are getting ready to come on the earth. So we want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, and there is a place called heaven, and you can go there. So I hope that you will take the time to go over the scriptures that I gave you today and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to reveal himself to you and come into your life and change your life. He will. I know I see so many different things on the internet about salvation, and even some people saying, oh, people can't get saved at an altar call. Well, I mean, I've had hundreds of altar calls myself, being in full-time ministry for many years and traveling. And I always love to do the altar call. I love to see people come forward and accept Jesus, and the tears flowing and the heartfelt repentance. So I love the old-fashioned altar call. And so we're basically giving one here today. I'm going to bring on my guests, and hello.
Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let me get Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. I want to welcome my guest today, Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio, and Brenda Johnson from As the Day Approaches on the Prophecy Zone Radio Network, and we are going to be talking about the end times, especially some of the chaos that's been happening in the Middle East with so many of the Muslim leaders being dethroned. So I want to get to my guests, and I wanted to ask Brenda. Brenda, what about the this whole thing that's going on right now with Gaddafi in Libya? What do you think is behind this?
Well, what's going on with Gaddafi in Libya is the same thing what has been going on with the other nations when Egypt fell. The same thing that was behind Egypt falling and Mubarak, Hosni Mubarak, is the same thing that's behind Gaddafi. It's just taken them a little bit longer to get Gaddafi out. It is Islam cleaning house. This is what I believe, that Islam is on the rampage and cleaning out those leaders that are friendly to the West. Gaddafi is not one who is friendly to the West, but he is not a true Islam. He's not truly Islam, according to the Arabic Islam, Islamic in Saudi Arabia. He is more of a dictator of himself, meaning that he is trying to be a king, and he does not believe in the rule of the caliphate. So they are getting him out because he will not join them in bringing forth their coming Messiah, the Mahdi.
And who is the caliphate?
The caliphate is it's been out of succession for since the fall of Turkey, taken over by secular governments there in that area. And the caliphate is now changed a little bit in terminology. It used to be where it was the rule of the imam and a succession of imams that would rule over a certain area or the empire of Islam. The caliphate today is actually the coming of the Messiah and the one ruler, the one leader of Islam who will rule the world. And so they are trying to bring forth the rule of law of the just human leader that they are calling under the caliphate. And that is the rule of Islam over the whole entire earth as the truth and justice for mankind and the right way in which someone should live. It's kind of like a government.
Yes, the caliphate, the Messiah, is that they believe that there is a Muslim Messiah as we believe Jesus is the Messiah.
Correct.
Yeah.
They do believe that he is actually prophesied, not by Muhammad himself or in the Quran, but he is hinted to read the Quran. It is really the Hadith that are predicting the coming of the last Imam. He's also called the last Imam. And there was a Imam that, as a little child, fell into a well or was hidden by his family. There's different stories about what really happened to this little boy, but they believe that he is coming back, just like Jesus is coming back. But the unique thing about this is that Jesus is supposed to be coming back with the Mahdi. So he is supposed to be coming back to actually share with the world that the Mahdi is the true prophet, not himself.
Oh. So where is the Mahdi currently? In heaven or paradise or...
There's different stories of where he is right now. He is in what they call occultation, meaning in hiding. Some believe he has been, for thousands of years just hiding in a cave. Some people think he has disappeared from the earth for a while. Some people, but the sketchy thing about that is that they don't believe that the world can ever live without the reign of the caliphate, meaning it would be like our Holy Spirit here. You know, when the Holy Spirit leaves the earth, there is no other guidance, of course, the Bible. But they believe that that is the reign of God on the earth. So a lot of them believe that he is somewhere here, whether that be, in silence or in hiding or just disappeared for a while. So, but his presence is still here. And there's just different kind of scenarios with regard to that. To say one way of what they're thinking about it is kind of difficult.
Yeah. So Phil, what is your take on what's happening right now with the ouster of many of these leaders in the Middle East?
The Age of Aquarius is, of course, a New Age term. These organizations that run the world has, I guess, the stars and the moon has aligned themselves, and it's time for them to bring in their New World Order. Albert Pike made a prediction or a prophecy from God. You know who it comes from. The prophecy comes from that there'd be three world wars. He made a prediction, and I call them predictions, but you can call them prophecy, that exact geopolitics of each war was exactly the way he predicted them to be. And right now, their main purpose was for Christianity to go up against Islam, and for those two to cast off each other and be replaced by atheistic. Of course, being an atheist religious nation or world government is not hard to do, because atheism just doesn't believe that there is a God. It's not that hard to do it. But the things that's going on now, it seems to be revolution. I remember a couple of years ago just on a radio program saying that I believe that the Antichrist will rise from a revolution, and I don't know why I didn't just continue to lean on that. And this is exactly what's going on now, is the Antichrist is being raised up by revolution, and he's going to come in peacefully. Now, revolution, like the one in Egypt, doesn't have to be of guns and war. It can be peaceful protests. Of course, there was a lot of unpeaceful protests. That's not what I'm saying. But overall, it was much better than Libya. Change of power. So the Bible says, by peace, the Antichrist shall destroy many. Syria. I told my wife this. I said, her on the couch, and I said, watch Syria this year. I mean, if Damascus does not make it past October, then things are changing very rapidly. There's a peace conference that's going to be held at the UN on the 20th of September. And this peace, it's not a peace thing, it's a vote, it's a vote for the Palestinian state, And the following day is World Peace Day. And I've always wondered, in the Bible, Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 or 3, one of those chapters, it says when they should call peace and safety, total destruction should come upon them, or immediate destruction. So if you're watching World News Tonight, In September on the 20th, and they come out on your World News Tonight, they say, you know, there's now a Palestinian state. And the following day, everybody's talking about peace, peace, peace. I think you better batten down the hatches, especially if you live in the United States, and especially if President Obama sold out Israel like he's on the track to doing. So if this is the case, then Rosh Hashanah, it's 7 days away. And if this happens, then God is probably going to make Irene look like a little sissy. So those earthquakes that we were having were signals. Now, there's always been earthquakes, and there's always been hurricanes. That's what I was telling somebody a couple of days ago. There's always been hurricanes. I mean, come on. But the earthquakes were pretty unusual. And the thing is, the key word is unusual. If you notice in the news, the earthquakes were unusual.
Yeah.
The Colorado earthquake was unusual. Irene, the size of it, is unusual. Of course, hurricanes are going to lose power as they come towards the land. I think we have yet to see the most powerful hurricane ever. And it will be, the way I look at it is a Category 4. If Irene was a Category 4 still on land, then somebody's messing with it. Somebody's flying over it, putting harps in it, or whatever they're doing to make that thing powerful. But they're using the word unusual quite often. And one more thing. In the United States, from what I study, is not Great Babylon. It's not. When they say that the kings of the earth watches it and they tear up and they're crying about Babylon falling, Babylon's a world system.
Yeah.
It's not the United States, it's everybody.
Yeah.
So when they're sitting on the Pacific Ocean, or they're sitting on the Atlantic, or they're sitting in the Caribbean crying that their land is being destroyed. If you read carefully in Revelation, everything's being destroyed. I mean, one third of the grass is burnt. I mean, buildings are crashed. I mean, that's what it basically is. Is the United States is no longer in existence, and the Antichrist had to take over as the peacemaker in the near future.
Yeah. You had mentioned Albert Pike, and for our listeners, in case you don't know who Albert Pike is, he is the Mason. Did he found the Masons, or
I don't know what he did.
No, I don't think he founded them. But
I don't think he founded. I know he was in it. He was pretty much into.
Yeah, because he wrote the book. Was it Morals and
Dogma?
Morals and Dogma. That's a pretty scary book. If there's anybody out there that has any doubt that Mason, the whole thing with the Masons is demonic. If you ever read some passages from that book, it definitely is a satanic worship. They don't talk about Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. You can usually pinpoint a Mason by the way he talks about the Creator or the Enlightened One, but they don't really call Jesus Christ Lord. So, of course, we don't trust any predictions that would come from Albert Pike, but it's just that there are people that are in the New World Order. It's even on our dollar bill, the New World Order, and it's something that will happen. So we're seeing it, and of course, we're not afraid of the things that are coming upon the earth because we know who is going to rescue us.
Amen.
From I live in Florida, and I can tell you it's very windy here right now, and we're not even having a hurricane. And we're on the west coast of Florida, so I can imagine how windy it will get as the day progresses. So I know, Brenda, you lived through a hurricane.
Yes, I did. I lived through two in the same year and this 2 weeks in a row, same month. I lived through the 2004 hurricanes, Frances and Jean, and we are on the north eye wall, the strongest side of the hurricane, and we did not have the eye, but we had the constant wind. So we
made it through. Whenever you hear sustained winds, that's something you need to be afraid of, because even if a wind is sustained at 30 miles an hour, the fact that it blows constantly is what sustained means. It's constant wind. If it blows, sustained for 10, 20 hours, you'll have a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had wind gusts up to 150 miles an hour.
Wow.
That's within, how we know that is because our neighbor had a weather a wind meter, and it broke at 150.
Wow.
So we know it got that much at times. It was really strong. For Jean, it was the biggest one, and we were through that one. We're right on the East Coast. We were on the East Coast. I don't live down there now, but I have sympathy to all of you on the East Coast or the state of Florida. And
oh, yeah. Anybody that I was looking at the preparations they were making today, and I was thinking nobody should take it lightly, because anybody that's lived through a hurricane knows how devastating they can be and how much water damage you can get, too. We remember some of the tsunamis, and in our area, of course, Tampa is surrounded by water, and that year, I don't know if it was 2006, they were predicting a tsunami for Tampa. That could happen someday, and would totally wipe out the airport and much of the Tampa Bay area that's surrounded by water. So we see these things coming. Of course, we were very surprised this week to see the earthquake rattle Washington, New York City. The Washington Monument cracked, and of course we know the Washington Monument is an occult symbol. And the Washington Cathedral, the gargoyles fell off and cracked on the ground, and those are the little demonic spirits that they hang up on what they call churches. But
and those were used to confront demonic spirits, huh? So
yeah, huh?
The demonic spirits were there to confront the demonic spirits. You know,
yeah. And I thought that was a sign when they fell to the ground and cracked. But we see, as your program is called, and I love the title, As the Day Approaches, and we see the day approaching, and we see the signs all around us. We see the apostate church coming into full fruition. The false prophets have gone out into the world. And even, like I said this week, that Mike Murdoch would actually take the time to be so frustrated that he has my video removed from YouTube. We're getting to these people, and I think that hopefully I kind of look at myself like a sort of female Martin Luther, and Martin Luther was very upset when he saw the money changers in the temple. Like, well, of course, Jesus was too, and he said, "You've made my house a house of merchandise," and we want to. We don't sell miracles, and it's just like Martin Luther years ago when he went and he hung up his thesis on the church door to come against the miracle selling, the indulgence selling, and there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same old religious system that we're going to see. But I wanted to ask both of you, and I'll start with Phil. I wanted to ask you about this false religious system. What do you see it as, and what should we be looking for?
Well, I'm surprised, like I say all the time, that it seems that every facet of the religious world is sort of coming together and merging with some of the most, some of the simplest parts of the doctrine that each of the religions use. For instance, I've heard Paul Krause say a while back, and this is a while back, this is not like it was yesterday, but this is like a couple of years ago, I've heard him say that I am a little God, you know. And the New Age movement believe that they are gods. The Mormon Church believe that, you know, your gods. Islam maybe not believe that, but it has the fantasy of being in heaven with 72 virgins. And they tie into the Mormon Church together. Those two have some familiarities. But a lot of the, like, this would be talking about for ignorance, but I've heard some of the stuff that Rob Bales says, and I'm like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
You know, so, and also the one God purpose driven.
Rick Warren.
I don't know why I always forget his name for it, but some of the things that he says, I mean, some of these people. And I'm not judging them in a way, but some of them are ridiculous. And then you get, and for all you guys who love, like, Billy Graham, give him an email and tell him I'm sorry to say this, tell him to sit down. If you're a Christian, and it's funny because Billy Graham is so famous that he could possibly do no wrong even when he's doing wrong. The guy is older. I respect
that's
the
guy. Strange thing, I think, is that... When these people are, of course, it is, when you're on television, you can almost become an idol yourself because you're there, and people are looking at you, and they're looking at you on this tube or whatever you're coming across. And it's a good thing, I think, that people don't see our faces because, you know, they won't make an idol out of us. But so they associate ministries with Hollywood, and then... When somebody does make a ridiculous statement, and I know Phil is, of course, Billy Graham did many wonderful things in his life, and he led many people to the Lord. But when he got older, and there is a video on YouTube that he did with Robert Shuler, it's posted there with Billy Graham, and Billy Graham virtually endorses
universalism.
Yeah, I did a study on Billy Graham, and that particular, if there was more videos of that, I would say that he would be at fault for that. But he actually did a whole apology because he was actually going through something at that time. Sick, he was, his mind was not well. So
he apologized for that.
His whole organization actually has come out with a response to that particular video in 1987. Because I had a discussion of this on my self teachings identifying them site, and it was a thorough discussion, and I went and did a lot of study on that. So fortunately for Billy Graham, that was actually debunked a while back. By his organization. So I think the problem was that he actually got on with Robert Shuler to begin with. That was, probably something he shouldn't have got on in the first place,
Yeah.
Robert Shuler is actually very, I would never, ever be on the film with Robert Shuler because of his stand. Speaking of that, and we're talking about Syria, and what's happening with that, Robert Shuler has visited Syria, Damascus, and he has talked with the muftis there. And I was just listening to a video before this radio show, actually, this week sometime, and there is a video out called Islam Seekers of Knowledge, and there's 9 parts to this video, and Robert Shuler is actually in this video. This is what I think is extremely dangerous for the church. I know that the false teachings are extremely dangerous, but those things that actually say they're Christian, meaning kind of coddling with other religions and saying we're all the same, that is, I think, far more dangerous than pointing out somebody's, like a Mormon, who say he believes in other gods. Because the mixture of Christianity with something else that makes it look similar is far more dangerous.
Yeah.
On this video, he says, this is a, he asks a question to the mufti that is currently now in charge of Damascus. He is the ruler of the Islamic studies, or the imam or whatever of the area right now. And he says, he says the population of Syria is about 18 million. And he asked the mufti how many Christians would he say there are in Syria. And the mufti responded saying 17 million. Now, Robert Shuler is like, oh, but that is not true. Muslims, yes, but not Christians. And then the mufti replied, I am the Grand Mufti. You cannot be a Muslim in Syria if you're not a Christian that focuses on Jesus. And then, on top of it, the mufti, Robert Shuler said the mufti had a profound effect on him. And he said, this is what really is shocking, and this is what I just, I think we really need to be aware of this, is Robert Shuler said the spirit of Jesus is in him, and the spirit of Jesus is in me. That's where we are able to make a connection.
Wow.
With an Islamic, somebody who doesn't even believe in the right Jesus, for one, and he is able or willing to say that we connect in Jesus. Now, this is part of the emerging church that is happening and saying, well, let's find other religions that we connect to and have common ground with. And, this is, I think, more profoundly, using his word, dangerous than anything else, is that we are connecting with other religions and thinking it's okay. And that's out of the ecumenical movement and the emerging church movement. And we are actually bringing in false doctrine, distorting the scriptures, and making the scriptures say something they are not saying.
Yeah,
so we're not even going to know what the truth is.
No. I can't believe how much I'm seeing this happening right before my eyes, because I kind of see this event that happened with me. I was actually waiting. I thought, wow, so far I'm on YouTube, and I have videos about some of the most idolized preachers, such as Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland, Mike Murdoch, and I thought, wow, so far nobody has really complained about it. And then I see that Mike Murdoch filed a complaint and had my video removed. So I thought, well, I could see that they, I see the separation happening, and where they are going to persecute the true church, the false Christians, because anybody, so what if someone criticizes me? They have a right to criticize me if they want to. They, I mean, they don't have a right to lie about me, but they have a right to judge if I'm misquoting scripture or I'm leading people astray. We have to warn people. Jesus Christ himself said that we should warn people and that we should mark them that cause divisions. And but you can see that there'll be more of them than there are of us. And I can see that happening. So that's why I'm so grateful that we have Blog Talk Radio. We have the internet for now, and I don't know how long it'll last. But I'm glad that we have a voice, and we can be salt and light to a lost and dying world to proclaim the truth, because there is a real lack of solid Bible teaching, especially on television. And we want to encourage people to read their Bibles themselves so that they won't be deceived, because there's so many voices out there. But I'm very, very, pleased in a way that Mike Murdoch took notice of the video. I hope he watched it and he listened to what I had to say, especially the part that I loved when I was mentioning to people that they should confront him publicly. So he might be more careful when he goes out in public, wondering if that might be the day that someone does confront him. But I wanted to go a little more into what's happening in the Middle East as far as, what do you think that, do you think that there will be a war, Phil, with Israel anytime in the future?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe that we're in the last generation. Psalms 90 portrays, people been asking how long the generation is. Psalms 90 gives two points, that it's 70 years, and if you take care of yourself, it'll be 90. And we know since the flood, it's been, especially the dietary diets that we have these days, it's going to be around 70 years probably. But 1948, Israel was a nation, and right now we sit on the edge of time, and 2018 will probably be the run-up to the generation running out. And it's a speculation, no. I believe with all the signs that we see, it appears that we are in that general time frame. Is Bashar next? I got an article that says, is Bashar yet next? From what I see, and all three of us, including our listeners, are Americans, or whatever, wherever you live at, you know, from the run-up to the Iraq war, we see we had rumors that there would be a war, and then we had an actual war. And just recently, all the wars that we've had and all the political step-downs, which in Egypt, the Mubarak stepped down, we see signs and we hear things before the activity take place. For instance, Gaddafi, we're going to take you down. And in the next couple of weeks, they take him down, or the next couple of months. Well, the same thing is going on now, where Hillary Clinton started talking mess, and then you get all the, what's her name, Merkel, and the French Nicolas Sarkozy, and the British Prime Minister, I forgot his name, Cameron.
I think it's Cameron, yeah.
They all came together and they signed a unity complaint against the Syrian leader. So the signs are there. The signs are there for a complete takedown of Syria. But here's the deal. I think Syria is going to fight back a lot more than Gaddafi did. And I was, if you read Isaiah 17, I would always wonder why would Damascus get nuked? And I'm thinking it's a new neutron bomb. I don't know of any other thing that can wipe a city out unless it's a new technology. Well, anyway, it says it's completely obliterated. I remember a article. It was kind of humorous, but at the same time revealing, is that it says the president, Bashar, was like, Israel's going to become a rebellious heap, a ruinous heap, something like that. And I forgot who said it exactly, but I don't know if it was one of the Israeli leaders or somebody was just referring to Syria as a ruinous heap. And I was like, wow, that's kind of weird, because in Isaiah 17, it talks about Syria being nuked or destroyed. So the sign, a big sign that the tribulation period is about to begin, along with the thousands of signs that we're living in right now, I mean, there's so many signs right now, it's almost ridiculous to say that we have, you know, another 5 years. It's another, to me, it's just too many things. Unless all the events fade off into the wilderness, I think we're going to see some stuff at the end of September. We're probably going to see an attack on Syria probably in the next couple of days or weeks.
Now, what is the population of Syria? Do you know?
No, but we can always Google it.
Yeah. Well, it was you know, according to the video I saw, it was 18 million or so of Syria.
Okay. So what would be the reason? Does the oil have to anything to do with the takedowns of some of these leaders? Go ahead, Brenda.
Well, you know, I am really big at cultural study and seeing it from the perception of the people in the land and what's going on. So when you talk about Syria and when you talk about Egypt and when you talk about Libya, and you see that the people themselves are rising up. It's not other nations that are doing this. This is the people within their nations that are doing this. So you have to ask the question, well, why are the people within the nations rising up? And so this has nothing to do with oil. It has nothing to do with a lot of the things that we as Americans would think. It has to do all with their own prophecies of their Islamic faith. That's what it is. Islamic eschatology has a huge reason why this is happening. And I believe we, as the West, are actually playing with the serpent. And the serpent, in the end, is going to bite us. We're helping them. We're helping them bring about that which they are trying to get the upper hand in. And it's kind of playing itself as a decoy of democracy, because that is exactly what they do.
That's kind of an oxymoron, democracy in a Muslim nation.
Right. It's not about democracy at all. Making Sharia part of their plan of action, which is not democracy. They use what we understand to use it against ourselves, and they are actually having a revolution, and the revolution is the coming of this Messiah. They are preparing the way for this Messiah. Now, when we were talking about our own eschatology in the 80s, you know, we got really, really, really big about our own eschatology. At the same time, Islam was writing as many books and saying as many things about their own eschatology. arm and eye, you know, mirror to mirror. And so they are excited, just as we are looking for the second coming of Jesus. They're excited about doing what they have to do to bring about the Mahdi. Now, I believe that who is behind the rebel forces and who is doing all this is what they call the Army of the Black Flags. This is a sign that Netisman said that is going to come before the coming of the Mahdi, and they are going to conquer and bring about that, the prepare the land for the Mahdi. The Mahdi, before he comes to power, it says, and I'm speaking of like this because you have to look at it from their point of view, not our own. And Sheikh Kabani states, the hadith indicates that the black flags coming from the area of Khorasan will signify the appearance of the Mahdi is nigh. Khorasan is in today's Iran, and some scholars have said that this hadith means that the black flags appear from Central Asia, which is in the direction of Khorasan. And then after this army is to appear, so is the coming of the Mahdi is imminent, and they're excited about getting this to happen. So I think we're having the rebels, which are the rebels of the black flags. Now, if you go on YouTube, you can Google the black flags, the Army of the Black Flags, and you will see all their training camps, because they are so proud of it that in every country they're preparing a group to rise up against the government to conquer the people that are in power that are against what they're trying to do.
Yeah, because actually they did conquer Jerusalem way back, many hundreds of years ago. I always thought that was very interesting, how they took over Jerusalem and what it means to the end times. But, Phil, maybe I could ask you about that. How do you see that as a parallel of what's going on today?
Say that again.
When the Muslims took over, or Muslims, as they were called at the time, I don't know what century it was, the 3rd century, or it was many hundreds of years ago when they were fighting a war to take over Jerusalem. And I think it was, the Crusades. It was actually the Crusades. I think it was the Catholic Church at the time trying to, they were fighting with the Muslims to take control of Jerusalem. Of course, they didn't win. But Jerusalem was taken over at that time. Are you familiar with that, or
yes.
Brenda, are you familiar with that?
I've just been doing a study on Israel and the Temple Mount and the fight between Islam and Israel for the Temple Mount. And, yes, the Crusades actually went back and forth, where Islam had it, and then the Crusades came in and took Jerusalem back, and then Islam took it back, and then the Crusades. There's like 6 or 7 wars of the Crusades to try to fight for Jerusalem. But I see that all as the time of the Gentiles. I don't see that as the time of the Jews. The Jews started, you know, when it says that the period when the time of the Gentiles has come to completion, then you can see that the signs in Jerusalem will be. Now, Phil mentioned something about the generation, and I thought the same thing about 1948 being the generation, but as I did the study, I found out that something fascinating is that throughout history, Israel was not considered a true country and in power until the temple was built. And so for centuries, other nations surrounding them have kept them from building the temple so that they cannot get their power back. So I personally think that the generation might not start until the temple is actually built. And when that is built, they have become a nation in the land, but they never left the land after the Romans had besieged them. They've always been in the land. They just have been chased out for a while. But they both, you know, they.
So the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, as Jesus predicted it, and it's never been rebuilt.
Yes, and then Ezekiel predicts the 3rd temple, and they are preparing already to build that 3rd temple. So in Israel, that's what they're doing today. They've trained priests. They have a replica of the temple that they are doing for practicing worship and sacrifice and all that. So they are preparing to build the temple. How they're going to get that spot? That's a good question.
Phil, what do you think about that?
Well, in the Old Testament, Israel didn't need a temple to clarify that they were a nation. Yeah, let's get that point straight. Israel does not need a temple to say that they are a nation. What makes them a nation is the people. You see, the God had said to them in the book of Romans that I will call my people, I will call a people that are not my people, which is the Gentiles. The focus right now is on the church, because it's the church world. But pretty soon, the torch will be handed back to Israel, and after God comes and raptures his people, the mantle will return back to the Jewish people. So the Bible says that a nation should be born in a day. And particularly when the UN said that Israel was a nation, just like they're going to do next month to say the Palestinians was a nation, that is the time that we run the clock. The clock is people on, and let's go to the, real quick to the Antichrist in the Western Union that they have, the European Union. A lot of the Bible prophecy on the, as far as us in the West, we base it off of Western things. So we forget that the Roman Empire consisted of the Middle East, Africa, and the European Union. I mean, or Europe. We forget all of that stuff. So,
people,
they're supposedly smarter than I am, or else they would have a big TV show. But a lot of those guys like Jack Benimpi and, Hal Lindsey, and them, they're stuck. Can't get off that. They can't get off the European Union. They just can't get off of it. And what I like about Jack Benimpi is finally he said on one of his shows, I've been looking at this for a while, because I had emailed him just and I didn't think he would read it. And it's kind of funny because right after that, he said it on the show. I'm starting to look at the Mediterranean Union rather than just the European Union. And as far as the Antichrist is concerned, we're always looking in the West. Juan Carlos, Ronald Reagan, Barack Obama, we're always looking in the West. What about the East? And that's why I think Syria is gonna play a big role in the rise of the Antichrist, and also Libya. Lebanon. Lebanon holds the General Assemblies in September for the next 6 months. So if the Antichrist is going to rise out of anywhere, the Little Horn would be in that area. And then the Bible says he says subdue three of the first 10. What's the 10? Everybody's always looking for, as a matter of fact, I don't even believe that the union, that the Antichrist is going to rise off of, I don't even think it's in existence yet, technically. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a point in time when the day of the Lord starts. The Bible says the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. So when that day starts, for the pre-trib rapture people, I'm looking at that as a point of reference to when it starts. Then the machinery goes into play, and the European Union and all these other leaders get together in a room and close the door and say, let's build us a union. And they come out and say, okay, this is the, it's all on the television. This is the new Mediterranean Union. Just been formed. So we're, even though Nikolai Sarkozy started it, it can be strengthened and consolidated, and then all of a sudden here's a leader that comes out of nowhere. So everybody's always looking for the Antichrist and looking for these unions to start. The Bible says we should be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen to that.
For all those relatives and the people that we're trying to warn, if they don't listen to you, don't fret, don't get sad, don't go and hide, and don't get sad, because everything's going to open up. I mean, there's going to come a time they're going to either wish they listened to you or they're going to be glad they listened to you.
Yeah.
So the time's coming. They're going to look at you like you're foolish and the fool. They're going to look at you like, you think Jesus Christ is coming back? Yeah. Basically, yeah. I believe it more than I'm going to graduate from,
yes, amen.
From you know, college. I believe it more than I can probably get a new house right about now, and I'll probably get a new house, probably get a new job, you know, probably do this and that. But the thing is that if I'm caught up in the affairs of this life to a point where it absorbs me, I'm going to miss that day, and I'm going to be like the five foolish virgins where I'm not even ready because I'm so concentrated on what's going on and I'm so absorbed. I'm not saying you don't pay your bills, you don't take care of the kids, you don't take a trip to Bahamas. I'm saying don't get so absorbed in these things when that day should come and overtake you as a thief.
Yeah.
So we need to be ready. We need to be watching. If a family member says to you, hey, this is what's going to happen, and you don't respond, family member, don't worry about it. They're going to have to respond sooner or later. It's going to cost them their eternal soul.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's the important thing, is that we know that Jesus Christ is coming again, and no human being can destroy the world that he created. God is in control here, and God is sovereign. So we can look at the things that are happening on the earth, but we know that Jesus Christ comes, and he will rescue us. And so we don't have to be afraid what man can do to us or what man can try to do to us, but we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he is an almighty God. We can look around us and we look at his creation and how beautiful it is, how wonderful God is, and how he saved us and delivered us from the things of this world. And we're heavenly minded. We're here on earth to do a job, and that is to tell other people about Jesus Christ and his, how he can save them and heal them and take away the fear of the things that are happening. So I imagine those people that went through the earthquake the other day were so scared, and even the people that will be going through the hurricane, because you don't have control over these things. There's nothing you can do about it. But we know that we can pray and we can trust God to get us through. So I just want to thank you both for being here today. I think that was a very, very interesting program. There were so many things that were said, and I hope that the listeners will go and check these things out and visit the Prophecy Zone Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, Phil Armstrong's program, and also Brenda Johnson's program, As the Day Approaches. You can listen. There's some great information. I'm telling you, these people have studied the Word. They spent many hours studying, and they are very knowledgeable about their topics. I think they're some of the best teachers that I know of today in the body of Christ. So check out the information. It will really, really help you and bless you. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And Brenda and Phil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll do it again.
Thank you.
And,
yeah, thank you.
I want to remind everybody that Jesus Christ loves you. He is a saving Jesus. Yes, he is a savior. And he can save you today, give you a brand new life. You must be born again. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. Once you were born of your mother, but you must then be born of the Spirit of God. It's not enough to say, oh, yes, I know about Jesus. You have to really know him and have a personal relationship with him. And the way you do that is to ask him to come into your life. Repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please heed what we're saying and give your life to Jesus Christ today. He loves you. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.